part of this. You have a history with us. And Pastor Eddie, I know you said that you are going to be online watching. Yeah, I don't know which camera I have to, but that one, good. But, well, I am so grateful for you. Since we met, the way that you embraced our lives and you became a good friend to us and you started working with us. Thank you so much. Thank you for this church that has been with us since then. Let me start sharing one verse which has nothing to do with my preaching, but has something to do with what I'm going through right now. It's 1 Corinthians 2:1. It says, I came to you in weakness, in fear, and with much trembling, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but in God's power. And I hope that's true today. And you cannot imagine how much I am trembling right now in being here talking to you. Yeah, I am also going through struggling with sinus. I had a very bad infection, so I am taking strong antibiotics to. Yesterday, when I was talking with Jeff, I was talking like that. I could not breathe. Yeah, it was all blocked. And praise the Lord, I am talking now almost normal. Yeah, I will never be normal. And also, something happened. Also, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I could not sleep since 3 o'clock in the morning. But that's good, because hopefully you are not going to rest on man's wisdom, but in the power of God. So as we celebrate today, Palm Sunday is the week before of Jesus' crucifixion, how do you pronounce that in English, and his glorious resurrection from the dead. So what I'll try to make now is a bridge in between two main events of our faith. The first one is the Holy Week that we just started celebrating. And the second one is the Great Commission. These two are the most important events in the history of humanity. Well, there is a reason for that, okay? Each of them are the most important events on the history of human beings. Jesus went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, the Jewish Passover. But that was not going to be a normal Passover. In that historical day, Jesus was received in Jerusalem as their king. As we said, as we read on the verses, but he was not received by the authorities, but Jesus was received as the king by the multitude, and that was also in harmony with the prophecy of Zacharias. And Zacharias prophesied that Jesus would come that day 500 years before that happened. So Zechariah prophesies, say the daughter of Zion, see your king coming to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. So that was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. And also John tells us that when Jesus entered in Jerusalem, that he was riding a small donkey, almost I said monkey, oh, sorry for that. You are going to see some of my language mixing up. Jesus was received by a huge crowd that took palm branches. That's why we call this the palm. What's the name? Palm Sunday. Yeah. And then they started shouting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." So Jesus was being received as the King of Israel by the crowd. The King of Israel was being received in a very uncommon coronation ceremony. In Luke 19:37, tell us that the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising the Lord in loud voice because they have seen all his miracles. But he was not going to receive a golden crown. Actually, Jesus was going to receive a thorny crown in a few days later. But the king was not going to enter Jerusalem to sit in the throne of David, like the prophecies have said. But he was entering in Jerusalem to offer his life as a supreme sacrifice in order to open a way for the Gentiles, for us, to be included among God's people. Nobody was expecting that. Nobody was expecting that the Messiah was going to give his life to make us, to make the Gentiles, and to open a way for us to approach God. The Apostle Peter said that because of his act, we are now chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That was 1 Peter 2:9. So there was a purpose for our salvation. God saved us because he had a purpose. And the purpose was that we declare his praises to the rest of the world. And that is the connection with Matthew 28, with the Great Commission. So without the resurrection of Jesus, you cannot have the Great Commission. Everything is linked. The church is chosen and is called to proclaim the praises of the Lord to the rest of humanity. The world has been living for about 2 years in difficult times, painful days. I have lost two cousins, by the way, three cousins on this pandemic. So three of them passed away, and we know that many people are suffering because of that. Many people are living difficult lives. I know that many people are at home and they are also suffering because of that. But our hope is not in politicians, is not in doctors, is not in powerful people, is not in the intellectuals. Our hope is in our living God. Our hope is in his Christ. Our hope is in Jesus. So today, we are remembering the most important event of our faith is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul devotes a whole chapter to write about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul then said something amazing. So he said, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." The Passover was fulfilled in the death of Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate. His death is actually what brought us life. Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Jesus fulfilled the Passover with his own death. Jesus is our Passover lamb. The Lamb of God has been offered, whose blood has been shed for our redemption. This is the reason that we find Paul saying in Acts chapter 20:28. Paul said, "Be shepherds of the church of God." Who belongs to the church of God? The church, it belongs to God, which he, God, purchased with his own blood. God purchased his church with his own blood. Yes, does God have blood? Yes, he has, and he shed that blood on the cross. So the death of Jesus Christ brought three major results. And the first result is that Christ's death was the propitiation for our sins, according to 1 John 2:2. He is the propitiation of our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Can you see the death of Jesus Christ has universal repercussion? That's a hard word. The death of Jesus Christ was not an accident. It was not unpredicted. It was not something that God didn't know what was going on. Jesus died on that cross because the Father gave his only Son for our sake. And the Son offered himself for us, for our sake. It was all done because God's love for us. Jesus died because it was God's plan to save the world before the creation of the world. God already thought about us. God loved us because that's why he sent his Son to die for us. The Father sent his Son because of his great love. That's what we see. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The death of Jesus Christ was planned, was intentional. It was an intentional sacrifice for our sake. Paul says that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. What does it mean? It means that the scripture was already predicting that Jesus would give his life thousands of years before that happened. In the same way that Israel was a slave in Egypt, and the blood of the Lamb saved them from slavery, we are also saved from the slavery of Satan, the slavery of sin, and the slavery of fear of the death. Because of Jesus, Jesus freed us from all of that. This is the most important event and the most important message that we have to give to the world. Another result is that Christ resurrected to be our justification. According to Romans 4:25, it says, he was delivered over the death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Jesus is the author of our life, the author of life, and in his resurrection, he destroyed death. He was victorious over death. So he was the only one who can be qualified to be the savior of the world. That's the reason. Satan and his demons, they try to attack that truth. There is no other truth in Christianity that is more attacked than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason that they try to attack that truth so much is that because Jesus is alive. If Jesus was dead and his body was still on the grave, they would not bother. They would not bother to attack Jesus or his teachings. But because Jesus is alive, then Satan and his demons and men, they want to attack that. Jesus appeared to John in the island of Patmos and told him, do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I'm alive now forever and ever. That's the reason that we can be saved, is because Jesus is alive forever and ever. So I still hope that I have some minutes. So Easter is the announcement of Jesus' victory over death. The resurrection is the most powerful event that changed our lives and changed also the lives of the disciples. Because Jesus is alive, He sent his Spirit to empower the church, to empower this church, so that we may face adversities, we may face the demonic oppression, we may face the sufferings, or even we may face death, like we have seen many of our friends facing death in Africa. Some of them, they were killed. Some of them, they faced a lot of suffering. And even our friend Ali, I told him, you know what may happen to you because you are doing this decision of following Jesus? And he said, yes. And may the Lord help me to be faithful. Wonderful when we see that the people of God is willing to face the consequences of following Jesus Christ. The one that have all authority, the one that is the first and the last, the living one, the one who was dead for 3 days, and now he is alive forever, he commanded us. He said in Matthew 28:18-19, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's the connection. We cannot have Easter and just stay there. The Easter is going to take you to the death and crucifixion and resurrection. And then that is also going to take you to the Great Commission, Matthew 28. We are commissioned by Jesus to go to the nations. And that is exactly what this church is doing through their missionaries. Thank you so much because you have invested on us. Thank you so much that you have invested in our lives and in the lives of so many people there in Africa. Thank you so much that you have been obeying Jesus Christ. Is that enough? Well, we can always do better. Always we can do better. Yeah. So that's my challenge also. That's my challenge for my own life. I am not happy just for what I'm doing. I want always do better for Jesus. And that might be also our desire to always do more because Jesus deserves. He gave his life for us. And after giving his life, he also commissioned us to go and reach the nations in his name. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here in weakness, trembling, and giving you this message today. Thank you. And I hope, I pray that before I come here, I pray that you may not be distracted by my accent, by my wrong words, but that the message, you might listen to the message of Jesus Christ and kept that.